John Tom! There's someone in the tree.
What?
John Tom opened one eye.
I said, there's someone in the tree.
He listened intently. Looking around, he saw no indication the sun intended to put in an appearance anytime soon. Moonlight gilded the branches of his home and those of the bell trees surrounding the glade of oaks.
Go back to sleep, Talia. There's no one in the tree.
Not our tree, idiot. Old Hardshell's tree.
Of course there's someone inside Clothahump's tree.
I'm serious, John Tom.
She looked toward the window that punctured the tree wall.
He'd been screaming and shouting over there for half an hour.
Talia's face whipped around to stare at him.
Can't you go over there and tell them to keep it down?
Entering through the back entrance of Clothahump's tree, John Tom peered in. Carefully, he opened the pantry door. John Tom tiptoed past the stove where Sorbel the Owl toiled daily and leaned against the kitchen-dining area divider.
Where is it? I'm getting tired of asking the same question, wizard.
John Tom clutched the door close to his chest and slowly nudged the door out. Wings fastened to his side, his clawed feet tied together and his beak taped shut, Sorbel sat bound to a chair. Clothahump sat secured to another chair in the center of the room, the dining table shoved to one side. Three figures confronted the stubborn wizard. A tall, muscular wolf leaned on the shaft of his battle axe and picked his teeth. A civet cat lounged against a chair next to him. The cat's sword rested in its sheath. He held a bucket from which rose thick steam. To his right stood the portly individual doing most of the talking. The guinea pig was not cute. At 4 feet, he had to stretch to lean over the back of the chair holding Clothahump. He wore a suit of thin chainmail.
Come out of there, damn you! I'm tired of talking to a carapace!
He started to reach inside with a paw, thought better of it, and did not. Then he stepped back and nodded to the civet cat. To John Tom's horror, he saw that the bucket held boiling hot mud, which the cat was preparing to dump down Clothahump's shell.
For the last time, I say, tell us where your gold is hidden!
For the last time, I tell you, I have no gold!
Everyone knows that wizards like to keep treasure close about them. The sun will be up soon, and I'm tired of talking.
He nodded to the civet cat.
Let's see how the old faker likes having something a little warmer than his shell next to his skin.
The cat grinned and raised the steaming bucket.
No, wait! I'll tell you.
John Tom took a step back and kicked open the door. The civet cat nearly dropped the bucket of hot mud he was threatening Clothahump with, while the guinea pig did a complete turn in midair. Raising his battle axe, the wolf bared his fangs and assumed a defensive pose. John Tom glared down at the trio of intruders, well aware he towered over the tallest of them.
The lot of you have 5 seconds to clear out before I reduce you all to gibbering mush.
Whoa! The civet cat jumped away from the noise and tossed the mud bucket aside. The wolf winced visibly. So did Sorbel for that matter, but not Clothahump.
My boy, I cannot recall a previous occasion when I had reason to compliment you on your usually atrocious timing, but this makes up for it. Thank you for saving me from an indecorous situation.
Who is this fool who carries no weapon and challenges us clad in his night clothes?
This is John Tom. Just as I am the greatest of all wizards, so is he the greatest of all spellsingers. With a few fragments of a song, he can spin the world like a top, or strip the fur from incautious intruders. Have mercy on them, John Tom. I know your temper, but none have suffered yet.
Clothahump turned to fix a warning stare on the civet cat.
You still have a chance, albeit a fast vanishing one, to leave here with your head still attached to your disreputable necks. Avail yourselves of it, or I will not be responsible. I cannot restrain the spellsinger forever.
The wolf started to retreat toward the far door.
Squig, maybe we better do as he says, brother.
Sure, he's a strange-looking one.
So you're a spellsinger, eh?
The guinea pig drew a short, thick-bladed knife from his belt.
That's right, Fatso. I've defeated demons with powers beyond your comprehension, freed wandering perambulators to cavort openly between the stars, battled otherworldly sorcerers and whole armies of plated folk. Now take your weakling minions and be gone, lest I loose my wrath on you all!
The guinea pig gestured with the knife, twisting the blade through the air.
How about if I loose the blood in your veins?
A short serenade is in order, then.
Months of practice in the tree while the world around him lay blanketed in cold and snow made him proficient. The first notes brought the taste of magic to the air. He chose the tune carefully. designed to turn the intruder's own weapons back against them. That it did. Unfortunately, it did so with the unpredictable selectivity that John Tom had come to know at his peril. The magic could fasten on several weapons in the room. The battle axe of the wolf, the knife of the guinea pig, the sword of the civet cat. In addition to the sword, the civet cat possessed a natural weapon superior to all the others in the room combined. This consisted of the skunk-like glands flanking its anus. The spell song loosed them against thieves and innocents alike as the dining room was flooded with the most awful stink imaginable.
Not again!
Flinging aside his formidable axe, the wolf put both hands over his mouth and raced for the far doorway. Knife raised, the guinea pig halted as though he'd run flat into a brick wall and bent over. As the only one in the room capable of standing his own effluvia, the civet cat grabbed his leader by the collar and began dragging him out the door in the wolf's wake. Meanwhile, Clothahump had retreated back into his shell to take advantage of what little protection it afforded him from this pernicious assault. Sorbel heaved uncontrollably behind his gag. John Tom struggled to segue into a song that sang of sweetness and sugar. He defeated the intruders without having to shed a drop of blood, but the victory proved messy nonetheless. Civet Cat, Wolf, and Guinea Pig had fled. He did not think they would soon return. As he finished playing away the stink, his own stomach quieted. Eventually, Clothahump's head popped out of his shell. Eyes watering, he gingerly extended hands and feet.
That was very nicely done, my boy. There are no rules in war, but next time it would be better if you could settle on some alternate method of sending our assailants fleeing in panic.
Sorry, sir, it wasn't quite what I had in mind. But with that knife waving at me, I didn't have time to be particular.
What you have in mind never does seem to be quite what happens.